And how significant do you think it will be if the deal goes through?
I think that it will be significant. Now, CNN does not have huge, any more than CBS News did, does not have huge viewership. It doesn't have, for example, the viewership of Fox News, owned by the Murdochs. It's not nearly as influential, but it does have a big global reporting presence, and one that's really important when there are things like world wars going on, or wars, you know, that are waging even now. You know, they have correspondents all over the world. So for a lot of people, when something huge happens, like the bombing of Iran, for example, one of the first places they want to go, maybe the first place they want to go, is to CNN, because they know that's the strength of this company. They cover global events. They have very veteran, well-seasoned correspondents. You know, it's hard to imagine that that will continue in exactly the same way under the new regime. I think that CNN will move to the right. Many of its big stars will go away. You'll soon see them on Substack. And the tone will change quite significantly. And that will be something that Trump and his loyalists really want. There's a bigger situation going on here, which is that Donald Trump is trying to control the message. And how do you control the message? You control the media. And he's made huge strides in controlling the media in the U.S., not only at CBS, but also at, for example, the Washington Post, which has changed very radically and moved to the right, by threatening all these other news companies with lawsuits. You know, a sort of self-censorship sets in. And, you know, everybody becomes very, very cautious. And so I think Trump's efforts to control the media, to control the message, and to stay in power, I think they're working well for him. It's a powerful force when you have the media on your side. And as you know, when democracies start to become more authoritarian and more autocratic, the first thing those leaders want to do is to diminish the independence of the press. And so I think we've seen that happening in a pretty deliberate way over time. You know, the cries of fake news and you can't believe these people, all of that goes to diminish trust in the sort of what I would call the reality-based press. So that's been happening for years. And this is all a piece of that puzzle.
And we saw Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary, or the secretary for war, as he prefers to be known, recently railing against the media for the negative coverage of the war in Iran. And he said, the sooner David Ellison takes over CNN, the better. Make no bones about it. This is what he wants to happen.
For decades, Iran has threatened shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. This is always what they do, hold the strait hostage. CNN doesn't think we thought of that. It's a fundamentally unserious report. The sooner David Ellison takes over that network, the better.
And we saw similar remarks from Carr, the chair of the Federal Communications Commission. He was threatening to remove mainstream news broadcaster licenses if they continue to push what he called hoaxes over America's handling of the war. What do you make of all of this?
Well, in the case of Hegseth, particularly, it's so wildly inappropriate for the defense secretary to be talking about, you know, I mean, he says he wants patriotic coverage. Well, that's not the role of the news media, and that's not the role of journalism to sort of say, isn't everything going well and aren't we proud of President Trump? I mean, those literally are the kinds of headlines that he would like to see. On one level, it's shocking, but we also have to remember that Pete Hegseth was a Fox News host, you know, so he's not really qualified in any way to be defense secretary, and his reason for being there is that he's telegenic and that Trump likes him.
And what do you think the Ellisons get out of this? I mean, I guess David Ellison gets another studio to play with. He can make more movies. They will have Trump's ear. But what do they gain from having Trump's ear? What could he do for them that would potentially make them even richer, do you think?
it's about money and power. It's not having any stumbling blocks when you want to have a bigger, bigger company and have a huge company that has no competition, for example. If you're the head of a huge conglomerate and there's nobody saying we need to break this up, then it's a free for all. And so I think it's all going in that direction. And that's a great end game. My experience, I worked for two billionaires, Warren Buffett, back in the day at my local paper that I was the editor of in Buffalo, New York, and then Jeff Bezos. And my observation about these billionaires is that they really like being billionaires. And it's rarely, they don't seem to be able to get outside that and say, what would be good for society? And do we need to make sure that the news media is doing its mission of holding power to account? I mean, that is not, that's like, that is a language that is really very foreign.
Margaret, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here with you.
That was Margaret Sullivan. You can read all of her columns at theguardian.com. And that is all for today. This episode was produced by Hannah Adam, Eli Block and Eleanor Biggs and was presented by me, Helen Pidd. Sound design was by Ross Burns and the executive producers were Elizabeth Cassin and Sammy Kent. We'll be back tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.